The Transportation Committee will come to order. And before we turn it over to the Council to give us a little bit of what they think about the budget we're going to pass out here, Senator Olson has a couple folks here that she would like to introduce to the committee. And we definitely want to hear some of the work that you folks have been doing. Senator Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You may see a group of talented young women around the Capitol halls today. They're shadowing different legislators, and I'm blessed with having two of them shadow me. They are from the FCCLA Student Youth Organization, and it is, if that, I often forget what it stands for. Those of us oldies remember it as Future Homemakers of America, but it's Family, Career, and Community Leaders of America today. Aww. And Bridget Enninga from Fulda is the state treasurer, and Yolanda Nelson from Wadena Deer Creek is the vice president for resource development. And they were mentioning to me some of the projects that they had to do with traffic safety, and so I thought it might be interesting to you to hear just a couple minutes of summary of some of the things they've been doing as students in their schools to advance the causes that we're working for as well.
Thank you, Senator Olson. Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record, and then just give us, you know, 5-10 minutes of what you guys have been doing.
Thank you, Chair. I'm Yolanda Nelson, and this year I'm Vice President of Resource and Development. I'm a state officer.
I'm Bridget Enninga from Fulda, Minnesota, and I am this year's state treasurer.
This past 2 years, FCCLA has been working on a national program called FACTS. FACTS stands for Families Acting for Community Traffic Safety. Last year, we had two traffic safety dummies, you dress up in the costumes, called Vince and Larry from the Minnesota Department of Traffic Safety. We went around speaking to as young as 6-year-olds to as old as 18-year-olds about traffic safety and the importance of not texting while driving and not drinking while driving, and to make sure that mommy and daddy really do wear their seatbelts. We also held a lyceum. In the lyceum, we had a few sheriffs and also Trooper Andy. He showed us an airbag deploy. It's not as soft as a pillow. We also had a few kids speak about their car accident. One of the boys at our school, he actually didn't wear a seatbelt. We're really trying to strive to wear his seatbelts. He flew through the windshield, and he couldn't walk for 2 years, and it held him back about 3 years in high school. So he will be graduating next year, and he was supposed to graduate about 2 years ago. Also, we had a seatbelt safety check. We had dum-dums, the suckers, for people that weren't wearing their seatbelts, and smarties for the ones that were. We also checked people's cars, and we had them roll down their window, and every passenger we would check for a seatbelt. Still to this day, we have people pulling out their seatbelts and showing us that we have them on, and we have been having a great time. What have you been doing, Bridget?
Well, in my chapter, we have focused more on doing speakers coming to our school. We had the Backstrom family, which had three of their sons die in a car crash from a drunk driver hitting them. We've had many different speakers, but all across the state of Minnesota, FCCLA members have been focusing their projects on anything to do with driving safely. I know other people have been doing mock crashes. Again, this year at our state meeting in April, we will be having speakers come and talk to us about driving safely. We have about 3,500 members in FCCLA in Minnesota. So we are trying to get the word out as fast as possible. So that's what FCCLA is doing to try to promote.
Also, this is a national program. So people, even including Puerto Rico, are teaching other people about traffic safety. FACTS has been taught all around the United States. And we had a big thing at our national conference in Nashville, Tennessee last year. We got to hear speakers talk about traffic safety, and we got to teach traffic safety to people and tell our projects to people like Reba McIntyre and all those people. So I got to meet her last year. So that's what we've been doing. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much, and thanks for sharing that with the committee. And congratulations on taking this up. It's a huge endeavor, and as I mentioned to you earlier, 7% of all the drivers are teens, but they represent 14% of the fatalities. And that's the uphill climb that we have for younger drivers, and I'm glad that you guys are taking that on. So congratulations. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Dibble.
Oh, I just wanted to say it's Bridget and Yolanda. Well, thank you. Is that right?
Yep.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And I have to say I'm especially impressed with your poise and how articulate you are. But I'm and I speak on behalf of the chair. I don't know if he mentioned to you when he met you earlier, the hallmark of his service as the chair of this committee has been in traffic safety and has been very successful in advancing some important key policies. So I know you're warming his heart. He's unfortunately not going to continue on in the state Senate, but it's absolutely the kind of work that you're doing at the local grassroots level that's ultimately going to make the difference. I'm going to be speaking in April at a national conference in Philadelphia on traffic safety and the efforts that are going on here in Minnesota, and I'm going to be sure to brag about the two of you.
Thank you.
Thanks again.
Thank you.
With that, I imagine we're going to hear from Mr. Scott Peterson and Mr. Norman Billy Bob Foster soon to go. Soon to head to the bayou. So. Mr. Foster.
Mr. Chair and members, go Saints.
Oh, MnDOT's budget just got depleted.
That's Mr. Peterson's problem. Mr. Chair and members, I'm Norman Foster with the Office of Financial Management. I wasn't sure, Mr. Chair, if you wanted us to just go through the items in your bill or go through the full governor's supplemental budget recs.
Mr. Foster, if you could kind of go through the bill that we have in front of us today, that's what the order of business is.
Okay. Mr. Chair and members, I think it's SC-7263. I think there's a few MnDOT items in it, and we may have one immediate reaction to just some of the language and perhaps a question or two. The first item on line 2.11 is an increase in the state road construction appropriation. This is a one-time increase in 2011. As members will recall, for federal highway aid that we get for MnDOT projects through Trunk Highway Fund, we do get direct appropriations through the legislature. This is an additional amount that we're estimating from the already enacted federal fiscal year 2010 appropriations bill. It was passed a few months ago. This is the state spending authority over that money. This is not any recovery money from either last year or anything that Congress might do this year. So that is a one-time item. The second item is a new proposal that MnDOT made that you've included in this bill. When we have large floods, we come to the legislature for special sessions, but occasionally there are smaller flood events or other disaster events where districts around the state have to spend some money on a small bridge replacement or trunk highway replacement. Those are eligible for federal ER money, and we do fill out the paperwork, but occasionally, and the standard practice is, we don't get the money back for a year, 2 years, 3 years. So what we've proposed and you've included in the bill is doing a one-time $5 million appropriation from the Trunk Highway Fund and setting up a small account where we would advance to districts when these kind of events happen. They'd fill out the paperwork, and then we would give them this money so that their budgets are kept whole for their construction projects for that year. And then when the money comes back in 2-3 years later, we put it back in this account and replenish it. And just we've had a number of occasions, I think, in southeast Minnesota up in the Red River Valley, where there's small flood events that don't rise to the level of a special session. And this is to sort of deal with that. In terms of the language part of the bill, I think you see on Section 5 is the statutory language to set up that account that the $5 million will be put in. On Section 6, I think there's a number of items going on. This is amending language from Chapter 152, the bonding authorization. I think on lines 4.9 to 4.12, you're moving some of the bonding authorizations from 2017 and 18 up to 2011 and 12, and we understand that. And I think line 415, 414 and 415 is then stopping the $100 million future authorizations 2 years early. So it's moving that up. I think Part D, there's a new Part D on lines 5.13 and forward. And I think I would like to ask Ms. Abigail McKenzie to come up and give a little reaction to it looks like of that $100 million added in 11 brought forward, it now has a new purpose. And I think we're not sure if that may affect some of the bridge financial planning we've been doing.
Ms. McKenzie, hopefully you're not going to go down the river, too.
There's a flood, Mr. Chair.
That's true.
For the record, I'm Abby McKenzie. I'm director of the Office of Capital Programs and Performance Measures. The bonds, if you remember, Chapter 152 directed the department to replace or repair certain fracture-critical and structurally deficient bridges with the Chapter 152 bonds. And as it turned out, that took the substantial majority of the bonds, and specifically the bonds in fiscal years 17 and 18 were committed to bridges. Now, when we advance those bonds, as long as we're still spending those bonds on bridges, the bridge program remains whole. But to advance those bonds and then direct their use to another use here, I believe, to local participation and interchanges, then really takes the funds away from the Chapter 152 program. So we have some concerns about whether then the funding for the Chapter 152 bridge program really would remain adequate to mm-hmm. deliver that program.
I understand, Ms. McKenzie. Ms. McKenzie, what about if we just authorize $200 million of bonding authority on top and remove this?
Mr. Chair, as long as it remained generic and could go to the bridges, then we could keep the bridge program.
Mm-hmm. We can keep the bridge program is what I'm saying. It's just authorize another $200 million on top of that. Or $100 million, whatever we need for this. For this Chapter D here.
Oh, Mr. Chair, are you saying I'm not understanding what you just were proposing.
We're giving you more money.
Oh, okay. I excuse me, Mr. Chair. I misunderstood. I thought you were saying if we took off the specific designation of that $100 million. Mm-hmm. You're actually we're asking questions about another $100 million on top of that $100
million. Right.
Yeah, that would be a question for our Director of Finance.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I mean, there's no governor's recommendation to that item. So, and the other thing where we've been doing a lot of work the last couple of years is thinking about what the ultimate debt service would be on the level of bonds that have already been authorized. If there were additional bonds authorized, that would raise the 2019-20 kind of ultimate debt service by that amount. By whatever amount of debt that was added. So I think we're on track now to our debt service last year was about 50-something million. This year is $70 million. We're on track to have Trunk Highway debt service at the end of this program somewhere $200, $210, $220 million a year. It all depends a lot on what future interest rates are when we actually sell the bonds.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's just something that we're all collectively have to think about is what level of debt service are we all comfortable with. Mm-hmm. Relative to the uncertainty of revenues. And the last few years, gas tax has stopped growing the way we always thought it did, partly for desirable reasons like people buying more fuel-efficient vehicles. Mm-hmm. Tab fees were going down and pretty stagnant, and the legislature made changes that restored some growth to that. MVEST is the one that has really bounced around a lot and has affected both highway planning and especially transit.
Mm-hmm.
So the more debt service that you project, then the more revenue changes can affect that. So to the extent that we added additional bonding authority beyond what Chapter 152 did, it's sort of a risk proposition.
Yeah.
I think we also just wanted to mention at this point, we weren't quite sure that the first part of D, the $30 million is for costs associated with Trunk Highway projects that would otherwise be paid by local governments. That could raise some issues depending on whether it's trunk highway eligible or not. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the local government's share is for purely local government purposes, and I think we'd be very uncomfortable having to think about using trunk highway bonds for something that's clearly a local responsibility. Sometimes there's a gray area in the middle that can be worked through, but there are oftentimes local cost shares that are clearly local responsibilities, and we would mm-hmm. have trouble with trunk highway bonds being used for that. I think to just finish up the bill, I think Part G, which is added in this bill, I think just for members, I think most of you are familiar with this. The normal cancellation report that happens every year or every odd year refers to when the legislature acted. Mm-hmm. And so this language is in to make sure that the 2008 action by the legislature on Chapter 152 doesn't trigger the cancellation report. And so it would now be triggered by the first day of each of the appropriation years rather than the date of enactment. So I think that's that item. I think the other item in the bill, Mr. Chair, I think is a Met Council item. And we're not sure if the Met Council, Billy Bob, is in the room right now or not.
I think they were satisfied with the cut that they were getting. Well, that might have overstated the case a little bit.
I think, Mr. Chair, I think he might have had another meeting with a senator.
Right, he had a 1 o'clock appointment with Senator Pogemiller, so he's not here right now. Mr. Norman, the $210, $220 million of debt service that you project, you know, in those out years, 2017, 18, what percentage of the overall MnDOT budget is that? Roughly. Ms. Boyd is looking at it right now. I thought it would be about 20%. Does that sound about right?
I think, Mr. Chair, when we've been having some discussions over this whole issue the last year or so, the way we've been trying to think about it is looking at the state funds. When you look at the Trunk Highway Fund, the predominant revenue sources are state funds, which are gas tax, tab mm-hmm. fees, and motor vehicle sales tax. But we also have a significant revenue source, which is federal aid. And in thinking about the level of debt service that is sort of what people are comfortable with, we don't really want to include federal aid because unless we have explicit agreement up front, we can't use it for debt service. And so we've restricted ourselves in sort of thinking about it to state sources. And if you look at state sources, then the second issue becomes, well, how much state revenue will you have in 2019 or 20? As you know, the formal state forecasting horizon goes out at present to 2013. By next November's forecast, we'll add 14 and 15. So for planning purposes, we've been thinking more, well, what if we got the amount of money in 2013 and didn't have it grow very much? The reasons for thinking it might not grow very much are gas tax is still our biggest source. Congress has passed CAFE standards. There's a general encouragement to sort of use less energy and hence less fuel in transportation. Tab fees, I think there's room for some modest growth beyond 2013 as the depreciation schedule continues to feed in. Motor vehicle sales tax, I mean, that's been a very difficult one to forecast the last several years, and whether or not it grows beyond the current level of 2013 substantially is, again, sort of a question that's hard to know. I think the recent forecast from a few days ago, I think we're back to $604, $605 million total MVEST by 2012 or 13. We brought in $605 million in 2003. And so over a 10-year period, there's been absolutely no growth nominally. So you have to think about, well, what to do for the forecast for 20. And what we've been doing for planning purposes is thinking about just using the 2013 number. So if you do that, and then MMB does provide us some debt forecasts for 2018, 19. Again, these are for planning purposes. Those are really highly dependent in this particular situation on the fact that we haven't issued most of that $1.8 billion of trunk highway bonding authority you gave MnDOT. And so interest rates might be higher in the next few years as we actually sell the debt. So using the current interest rate, we are about somewhere in the sort of 18 to 19% of state revenue would be used for debt service by the end of the decade. In internal discussions, and we've only sort of had some general discussions, we're thinking that we would like to think about a level of about 20% of state revenues being forecast to be used for debt service is kind of a comfort level that both sort of trades off revenue uncertainty with getting some very valuable projects done earlier. Mm-hmm. But again, it's sort of a it's both a technical exercise and a policy judgment. Mm-hmm. So to add additional authorized bonding at this point, we'd have to get the scoring, and I think MMB has given some preliminary scoring through the bonding bill process. I think this item was included in the bonding bill. I think it adds about $17 or $18 million a year. So that might be put us closer to that 20%, might even put us through it. But that's kind of the background to thinking about. I mean, historically, MnDOT and the legislature hasn't had a lot of trunk highway bonds, and in the last decade, we've started doing more bonding than in the past.
Well, Mr. Foster, Ms. Boyd just passed me a little note and said if those revenues from 2013 hold steady, it would be between 15 and 16% at the current $210 million.
Yeah, I think, Mr. Chair, have you redone it for the forecast the other day? Did you add the MVEST?
No. But Mr. Foster, you said that, you know, this past year was a – was the highest year of the invest revenue since 2003. But, you know, it's the last year of the Ventura administration, I believe, is when we whacked that schedule way back. And then 2004 is when the major reduction started, I believe, wasn't it? Right around that time, Ms. Bierzowski?
Mr. Chair, I think the depreciation schedule changes affected TAB fees. I think it was MVEST, the motor vehicle sales tax. And I can't recall the exact year. I think it was MVEST, the maximum was about 600. And I'm recalling something like $605 million in like 2003. And it's the sales tax that sort of peaked and then dropped quite significantly. I think the TAB fees didn't have the same change.
Well, that just goes to show that Ventura's plan didn't work. Car sales dropped off.
I think Governor Ventura would be happy to respond to that question.
Well, Norm, I'll tell you, it's like this.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Senator Bonoff.
Mr. Chair, I always have to take the opportunity, to remind people about that MVEST, that one of the reasons why it doesn't grow is because over the past many years, more and more cars are being purchased on a lease. And I have continued to call the car dealers in my area to ask what percent are being leased, what percent are being bought. And my most recent anecdotal evidence is 50% are being leased. And so if we do not capture that lease tax as part of the ongoing MVEST revenue, we are going to continue to see flat growth when it comes to MVEST. And I know that we at the end of one session made a deal and where that lease tax went, but I don't think it's consistent with what the voters voted on when they said they wanted the motor vehicle sales tax dollars to go towards transportation. And I don't know what it's going to take to make that change in law, but it's not good for us. It ties our hands in terms of being able to use that money consistent with what the voters voted on and to address some of the very real needs we have in our communities.
Thank you, Senator Bonoff. It's too bad that in that constitutional amendment we didn't specify the lease vehicles as well. Senator Bonoff.
Mr. Chair, and we did try and do that, and I remember that was got all tied up in a fight around how we were going to allocate the lease tax, and so I regret some of those discussions now. I think, we wished we had gotten it there.
Hindsight's really good. I mean, we could have taken that money and put some of it in that rail service account so that Mr. Gardner had a little bit of money to fix things.
Absolutely.
He liked that idea. Any questions for Mr. Norman or Ms. McKenzie? Seeing none, thank you.
Thank you.
Oh, and members, this may be one of the last times that we get to see Mr. Norman, so If you have any cracks about Louisiana or the Saints.
I'm sorry.
There's another Saints fan in the room.
Oh, Mr. Chairman.
Go Vikes.
I have Zapp's potato chips in my office if you'd like some. He knows what they are.
Yeah. Well, for Mr. Norman is going to be heading out of here before too long, next month or so, or whenever Scott gets tired of dealing with you. But he's done a great service. he said yesterday, I think. But in all seriousness, Norm, you've been a great ally of our committee, and we've learned a lot from you. And I just want to say thanks on behalf of our committee. Senator Dibble.
Thanks, Mr. Chair, and I want to echo that. Mr. Foster from around the neighborhood, have appreciated your willingness to answer all of our questions in a way that helps us to understand better very complicated information. That transportation finance and how it intersects with policy isn't necessarily brain surgery, but it can get pretty involved and pretty pretty elaborate. And so I appreciate all the time, the years you've been with this committee, helping us understand how the numbers work. I think some committees thrive from kind of keeping that kind of information locked up in just a few hands in the leadership. I think our committee thrives by spreading out that knowledge and that expertise on the budget, the policies, and how they interact. So I appreciate all of your help to us over the years. And see you for a couple more months around the neighborhood. But, we have a number of my constituents moving to New Orleans. I don't know what's going on there. A little Mississippi connection.
It's warmer.
It's sweltering.
After the bill, Mr. Sheen.
Oh, okay. well, members, it appears after listening to Ms. McKenzie talk about the bridge program and what we did with 152 that we may need an amendment to kind of restructure the way that we are going to capture some of this money. I still believe that we should advance those bonds because we've got a lot of bridge projects that are coming online now, Hastings Bridge down there in your neck of the woods and several others, and I just think that it'd be prudent to take advantage of the low interest rate right now. And I'm not too worried about the $100 million if it's only going to move a couple percentage points of the debt service up. So when we come back for our meeting this evening, if people can kind of think about it, I'll direct Ms. Spierzowski to take on all amendments from the committee. My preference would be to just increase the level another $100 million and then put it towards, a portion of it towards the interchange account and then a portion, just an open appropriation to MnDOT instead of the local the local option there.
State road construction.
For state road construction, right. If anybody has any better ideas, let us know before the next committee hearing because we'll pick this up at tonight's meeting and we'll just amend it real quick and get it to Senator Cohen. Senator Dibble.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. And this just reminds me of kinds of conversations we had a few years ago about the level of debt that we're carrying in the Trunk Highway Fund, and we were pretty focused on that a few years ago. And if you recall, the bill that I had in front of the committee, which we'll bring back here soon with the good suggestions that the committee provided, contains some direction to MnDOT to develop a financing policy and kind of gets us a kind of an established rationale for how much debt we're going to carry relative to the Highway User Tax Distribution Fund and the Trunk Highway Fund part of that. So just another word in favor of my bill.
Thank you. Senator Koch.
Thanks, Mr. Chair. If it's appropriate, I understand her fellow officers have already spoken, but I just want to introduce to the committee, Mariah Olinger is the state president for FCCLA. Mm-hmm. And as you heard, their state focus has been transportation safety. So, Mariah.
Hi. How are you?
Fine. Mariah, if you want, come to the table and introduce yourself to the committee for the record, please.
That
Yes.
My name is Mariah Olinger, and I am the Minnesota FCCLA state president. We're one of the leading youth organizations that focuses on leadership. And one of our programs is Families Acting for Community Traffic Safety. And throughout the past 2 years, it's been one of our major focuses. Last year, we focused on destructive decisions. And this year, we're focusing more on the safe driving aspect of traffic safety, and we focus on teens because teens is, from our perspective, are the most likely to get in accidents, and we've been working so hard to focus on something that would make a big impact, and mm-hmm. traffic safety is something that we've chosen. So.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I wish you could have been here to listen to the other testifiers earlier. They did a wonderful job as well. So thank you, and thanks for all your help because it really means a lot.
And Mr. Chair, she's from Jordan, I believe.
Jordan.
Oh, really? You guys got one of the – they've got one of the best amateur baseball fields any place in the state there. It's just a beautiful little park. So. They're in Meesville. Yeah, it's just a beautiful place, but – I get excited. I hit a home run there one time. Not going to talk about the three I gave up the next inning.
So, Mr. Chair, it's a really small field? Is that...
yeah, it was wiffle ball. And, but if there's no further business, I think that we should take the next couple hours to kind of think about how we arrange some of this, and we'll... Soiree again at 6. We're going to hear some bills.
And, Council, did you want to talk about Met Council?
Does anybody want to talk about the Met Council?
Well, Mr. Chair.
Senator Dibble.
Maybe we could just hear a little bit from Ms. Boyd about the $6.5 million and how that interacts with the motor okay. vehicle sales tax, just to understand a little bit better.
Mr. Chair, and Senator Dibble, yeah, the Senate committee has been given a target of $6.5 million, and that's going to be a base reduction cut, as it is in this bill, from Met Council's general fund appropriation. Looking at the numbers for 10 and 11, the state funds to Met Council is approximately $462.6 million, so the $6.5 million is about 1.4% of their state-funded budget. Not sure what else you'd like to know, Senator.
If you could just touch on the motor vehicle sales tax,
okay.
and it's above anticipated projection,
yeah.
I think attributable probably to cash for clunkers.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair and Senator Dibble, that's right. The November 2009 forecast had a bump of about $19 million in MVEST for 2010-2011, just to Met Council. The February forecast that just came out is approximately $21 million above that. So from end of session to the February forecast is about $40 million for the biennium extra in just in MVEST to Met Council.
Okay. And Mr. Chair, did we make a decision that Met Council probably had a little bit more ability in light of those facts versus rural transit? Because mm-hmm. rural transit is fairly highly exposed to the general fund, too, but get a relatively small amount of money. And they're always a little more tenuous, I think.
Exactly. And Senator Dibble, and you know the transit end better of this business probably than anybody else in the room except for Furman, I think, so, say around here somewhere. Anyway, you know, rural transit is, as you know, when we cut their budget, it's disproportionately large, mainly because we've got an aging fleet of vehicles, don't have enough vehicles, don't have enough service. It's a lot of the – it's exponentially worse on rural transit to take a whack at them at this time just because of everything that we've done in the past. And now that, you know, this money has performed a little bit better for the Met Council, it's a lot easier to get it there. And then let them backfill their budget with some of the other tools that we gave them last year. You know, those livable communities, pots of money and things like that. But Maybe when we come back at 6 o'clock, maybe Mr. Shetnan will be around. We'll be able to get a little testimony from him.
And Mr. Chair, just to confirm, we're not picking up any of those other general fund cut recommendations that MnDOT has, the UPA 84,000 and the aviation support and hazmat, et cetera. I'm just confirming that I'm reading the spreadsheet correctly. Is that right?
No, Senator Dibble, you're reading the spreadsheet correctly. We're not going to touch all those small pots of money because it just, once again, that's a disproportionately large portion of those budgets, and there's really no reason to do that. Besides, we need to make ongoing cuts. And, the other thing is we didn't see any language from the governor. Is there anybody from the governor's office here? I saw Mr. LeClaire earlier. But that was one thing that we didn't get. We didn't get any language on the bill that was dropped in front of us. And so, we really didn't have a clear understanding of what was going on. And I didn't feel it was good to whack those budgets again in light of, once again, some of the things that we've done to, like the State Airports Fund and the railroad funds that we've done over the past few years. There comes a point where if you keep starving those operations where they cease to be functional at all. And we need to have a healthy airport system and rail system and a greater Minnesota transit system, just like we do here in the metropolitan area. I just feel that the Met Council had a little more leeway as to where they were going to come up with their money.
I think it's because Senator Ress and Senator Jungbauer are infinitely more powerful on this committee than we really know.
We're just more cordial.
Mr. Chair, I'm comfortable with this decision.
All right. Well, when we come back at 6 o'clock, we'll take a little testimony if Mr. Shetnan's around, and then we'll pass this. And then, like I say, we've got a lot of bills to hear this evening. But if we're here and everybody's ready to go at 6 o'clock, I can guarantee we'll be done by at least 7:30. I'm not going to say p.m. or a.m., but we'll be done by 7:30. All right. With that... And it's going to be in room 107. So with that said, no further discussion. The committee is adjourned.
Recessed.
Recessed. The committee is recessed.